You have your Bibles. I'm going to open up to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And I'm not going to go there for a few minutes, but I want to tell you what I want to do this afternoon. Last several messages, and of course it's been a while, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe. We have looked at the Trinity. We had looked at how the Trinity interacted with one another, the Godhead interacted with one another. And then we went on to kind of see that in the Trinity, we have a foundation or a point of reference for our relationships that we have now. We, as far as the idea that we're made in the image of God in a big way, that's manifest in the fact that we are relational beings. We're made to have relationships, to interact with other people, to communicate, to share things with experiences and growth with interaction and other people and that sort of thing. I wanted to kind of keep that going this afternoon for a few minutes. I wanted to look at another level of that and how the Godhead communicates with one another. And really, as we look this afternoon, we're really going to look at how the Son and the Father interact with each other. And I want to do this for a couple of reasons. If you were to try to narrow down what it is that, separates or destroys, or at least what it is that puts a kink in a lot of relationships, I would venture to say that communication would be number one for a bunch of different reasons. I remember whenever I first got married, hearing a good friend said, you know, it'll be a while before y'all actually are able to talk and communicate with each other in a way that, you know what the other one's actually saying. And I thought, that sounds crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. They must have problems that I don't know about. And turned out I did know about those problems, and it happens. I mean, men and women are just different people in general. Communicate things, mean things, when they say, you know, whenever their intentions aren't always, don't always follow the same phrase, I guess I could say it that way. And those of you that are married, maybe have an idea about what I'm talking about. It's just sometimes you just, for whatever reason, unintentional reason, you just can't get it together. So it takes a while to get used to folks. So I want to look at just how the Godhead communicates, not only for marriage relationship, to be honest with you, I got to thinking about it whenever we were thinking about the shepherding a child's heart thing, but not only for a parenting relationship, but just how you communicate with all of your relationships in general. We have a pretty good model of some things here. And I do want to say that all the things that we're going to take from this do not always apply to the Godhead, but they do apply to us. And I'll try to make those points clear whenever I get there as far as what I'm talking about. I don't want to get too far out there and make things up that aren't there, but I think we have some good principles that are here. And then Mark 14:32 is going to be the first place that I go. I do want to say this, starting out, that any kind of real relationship, and here we get into some, you know, kind of some feeling things that kind of get uncomfortable and kind of get, it's just kind of hard to really open up sometimes in this sort of way. But anytime a real relationship occurs, it's important for, everybody to realize that vulnerability is there. If you're really going to connect, open up with somebody, have a real relationship besides just some surface whatever, you're going to be made vulnerable to some degree. Now, you're not going to just open up and start telling all your deep, dark secrets on day one, but I'm just saying, if you're going to connect with somebody, there's a reason you're connected. And for relationships to grow and to be a healthy, intimate kind of relationship, husband-wife relationship, even maybe with children to some extent, it grows. Vulnerability grows, and it's not always a bad thing. So in Mark chapter 14, we see a little bit of that. Mark chapter 14, I want to start in verse 32. By the way, we see that dependency, vulnerability, we see that in the way that Christ relates to his Father throughout. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I'm revealing to you, I'm preaching to you what the Father has given me to do. I'm dependent on God. My meat is to do the will of the Father. And so there's a direct connectedness, there's a direct dependence. And then as the Son would open up to the Father, it was just a wide open relationship. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 32. It says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." And I want to stop there. Now, this is especially verse 36. It's a pretty amazing verse. On a lot of different levels. Number one, the fact that we could read that Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, would be so amazed at how heavy and how sorrowful and how troubled his soul would be that he would come and say, let this cup pass, take this cup away if it's your will, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will. But the principle, really, the communication principle I want to get out of this, the relationship principle I want to get out of this, is that Jesus Christ is wide open to God the Father. Wide open to God the Father. He is getting ready to accomplish what he had set out to do, what had been planned for him to do, before the world ever began. This plan had been set in action. He knew. He knew whenever he came. He knew what his, if I could call it, job. He knew what he was supposed to do, what he was supposed to accomplish. And then when he gets here, he prays to God. After he's amazed at how heavy he is, the human side of him. After he's amazed at how heavy and how sorrowful he is, he says, "Lord, God, Father, if it's possible, well, let this cup pass. Take this cup away from me." We see a real human side to Christ there, but we also see a real, what I'm going to call a deep part of his relationship with his Father that a lot of people lack, and that's just openness. If you could take everything you know about the Father and kind of muster up what you think a response might have been from him just based on some of this, it would have been totally acceptable in our thoughts to think that God would say, "What do you mean take this cup away? This was the plan. Remember, you agreed to this. We came up with this a long time ago. You've been doing the miracles and you've been doing this and you've been doing that, and it's all led up to this. What are you talking about? Take this cup away." But we don't have any reason to believe that that's how the Father responded at all. At all. The Son is open to the Father, an open communication, not bashful about it, not ashamed about it. Jesus Christ, who is the express image, we talked about that a few weeks ago, the express image, the exposition of God. If you want to know what God's like, you look at Jesus Christ, comes before God, and he says, "If it's possible, take this away, even though, or nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want, not my will, but your will." And you know what we know about God? From the Old Testament even to the New. God's a God of compassion. God's a God of compassion. And so here's what I want to get out of this. Number one, in communication between the Godhead, they are open and honest with each other. And it's okay. They're open and honest with each other, and it's okay. And the reason it's okay is because... And I, as I say all this, I do realize that if I venture too far, I'm talking about things that I have no idea about. And so I don't want to try to get too far into why the Godhead does what the Godhead does, but we are looking at what the Godhead does and how they communicate. But we do know that God's a God of compassion. And so I want to ask you, really, in your relationships, number one, how open are you? And number two, how compassionate and open are you to other people? Now, I'm not talking about us all making a circle and holding hands and singing Kumbaya while we share each other's feelings. I'm not talking about that at all. But what I am talking about is in your own personal relationships with people, how open can you be? But really, you know, for us, sometimes we get bashful with that. But really, the next question is, how open can people be with you? How much in control do you want to be on the way that people feel? You ever get aggravated at folks for having a bad day? You ever get aggravated at folks for being down or not for being in the mood that you want them to be in? I was talking to some folks not too long ago, and it was a couple, and one was just looking forward to such a great day, and it was going to be a little different in the schedule, and then the other was going to have the same old schedule they had every other day. And as the day progressed, it just did not turn out to be the exciting theme park day that they thought their day off was going to be, because the other one was doing what they had always done. It was nothing special for them. She was taking care of the kids and doing the daily routine, and it was just more than, I guess, he could handle, and it just turned out to be a disaster. And the reason was that he just couldn't fathom the fact that she wouldn't feel the exact same way that he felt on that particular day because he happened to have a day off. Now, you know, that you may not, you know, it may not be that way with you in that specific kind of an instance, but how often do we get aggravated or fed up or impatient with folks because they don't feel and they're not acting in the way that we would like for them to act? And I'm going to tell you that in the extent that we can't do that is the distance that's put between us and those that we're trying to relate with. I don't know if that's making any sense or not, but the whole point is that we accept people really for who they are. And when I say that, that's exactly the way outside of, obviously inside the cross, but as far as horizontal here, God says He knows us, and He knows that our frames are but dust. He knows how frail we are. He knows how weak we are, and He relates to us in that way. He knows that we're in need of mercy, and we have mercies are new every single day. He knows that we're in need of compassion, and so He is a compassionate God toward His people. And I guess the question that we have is, as far as trying to apply this, how the Trinity works, how the Godhead works, not only toward each other, but toward us, is how much do you reflect that in your own relationships? How compassionate can you be? You know, usually the opposite of compassion is irritability. Why in the world are you acting this way? Why can't you be more like me? Isn't that the way it goes usually? We get along with people who act the way that we act or look at things, see things the way that we see them. Usually when that's not the case, we're not the case, if I can say it that way. If they can't join the me club, then they're going to have to go find some other club to join. That's usually the way it goes. But I want to remind you that even though there's diversity within the Godhead works in unity. And even though there's diversity not only within the church, but even with our own relationships, God has made it that way and then also commanded us to live in unity with one another, to live in real relationships with one another. And as it's hard to, you know, to talk about this stuff, not because it's hard to sit there and listen, but as it's hard to kind of express some of the things and then super hard to go home and try to change some bad habits that we might have, if we're going to be and have the relationships that God's called us to, you know, we got to look at these things. We got to think about these things. And so the Godhead is open with one another. The Godhead is honest, as it has the picture that we see here with one another. And the Godhead is not ashamed in the midst of its company. Not ashamed. And then I want to go to another place. This is one more place, and this is the last place. We're going to get a few more here. And it's in Matthew chapter 3. in Matthew chapter 3, and this is the first place that I went whenever I started trying to think some of these things out. Jesus comes to John the Baptist. He's baptized. And then after he's baptized, he's coming out of the water. And the Spirit descends like a dove. And then the Father speaks. And verse 17 is where we are. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And he makes this just one small statement, but there's a lot in this statement. It says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying," this voice from heaven was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here, after Christ is baptized, the Father's voice speaks from heaven, and that's what he says. "This is my beloved Son. This is my Son, who I love, and in whom I am well pleased." You ever wonder why God the Father said that? Maybe not. You know, but of all the things he could have said, or why the Father even spoke at all, you think Jesus didn't know that already? I think he did. I think Jesus knew that his Father loved him. I think Jesus knew that his Father was well pleased with him. Because he was God in the flesh. He did what God told him to do. It was his desire. It was his meat. It was his fulfillment to do the will of the Father. This was supposed to happen a long time ago. But yet at the scene, whenever we get to kind of take a peek at the interaction and how they communicate with one another, the Father's voice from heaven comes, and of all the things he could have said, he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Several things out of this, and it won't take long, but there's just some good points in here. Just some points as far as our own communication with each other. And then the first one I've already said is, the first thing he says, "This is my Son, whom I love." This is a verbal expression of love to the Son from the Father. A verbal expression of love about the Son or from the Father to the Son. Now, some people don't have a problem with this sort of thing. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a world where a lot of people have big problems expressing to people that they love, that they actually love them. We have prisons full of men who most of them have never met their fathers. And the ones that have, most of them never had a good relationship with them. You hear story after story about people who just long to have heard their father or their mother or their family live in any kind of way to where love was actually expressed. And again, as we get to this, I don't want to try to turn this into feelings trump all and that we ought to get in touch with our inner selves. But I also don't want to ignore those things either because they're real. They're real. How does someone know that you love them if you never express it? Or why should you express it if you think they already know? Well, the answer to the second question is because God did. Because God did. Jesus already knew that the Father loved him, but God expressed that anyway. And so how long has it been? And again, you may not have any trouble with this at all, but I've found in my own life that the deeper I try to go as far as expressing things, the more awkward it gets and the more likely I am to kind of pull back and stay on the shallow end of the side. Isn't it weird how uncomfortable it can be and how difficult it can be to express to somebody how much you appreciate them or how much you love them or how much enjoyment you get out of their company, that sort of thing? Maybe it's not that way with you, but it is with me. It just turns into one big awkward thing and I start losing words and I start taking off. It just doesn't land. It doesn't work. But it shouldn't be that way. So number one, God verbally expresses love toward his Son. And I want to make the point, even though he already knew it. You know, a lot of times we don't say things that we ought to say or do things that we ought to do. Usually it's just saying things that we ought to say because we think, oh, that person knows it anyway. Why do I need to say it? They know it anyway. Good grief. I get up every morning and go to work. Right? I work hard all day. What else do they want? Then I get home and got to take the trash out and the yard needs mowing sometime and take the cars, take care of all that. Really? You get lost in all that, and after a little while, you could find yourself going a day, 2 days, a week. And those words have just been foreign from your lips. I'm going to tell you, it should not be that way. It should not be that way. Or, you know, we get to the other side as far as what a wife might think. You know, a wife might think the same thing. You know, good grief, I'm working all day too, and then I'm coming in trying to fix a meal and trying to do this, or I'm watching the kids all day and running around and worn out and I still need to say something after all that. Are you blind? You can't see. And it just doesn't ever happen. We just lose it sometimes. Now, of course, I'm not talking about, and I'm not downplaying this either, but I'm not talking about the habit times, even though it's a good habit. I love you. You know, kiss somebody goodnight because you tell them you love them, or you hang up the phone and you tell them you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about really sitting down and letting somebody know that you appreciate them, that you love them, that you recognize what they're doing. All that's going on right here. So number one is a verbal expression of love from the Father to the Son. Number two, the Father expresses pleasure in the Son. This is my Son that I love, and I'm well pleased in Him. I'm well pleased with Him. When's the last time you're able to do that? I have a hard time with it. I'll be honest. I have a really hard time with it. Matter of fact, I have a hard time encouraging people, period. I could do it up here just fine. You know, I could lay some general blanket statement out just fine and throw it out. But as far as one-on-one, I just have a tough time doing it. I can tell you who does a good job, and you know some folks that can too, but that's something I've really, really admired about Brother Isaac. He can really, really encourage folks, even in some what I would think would be insignificant, silly ways. And I suppose that's why I don't do it, because I think some things are insignificant and silly until it comes time for me, and then I'm really, you know, it's the end of the world if something doesn't happen. But really, when's the last time you encouraged somebody? Just a, my goodness, that's wonderful, or I'm sorry you're going through that. I'll be praying for you. Keep it up, or I know it's difficult, or anything. I know you're working hard. I know it's this thing might be wearing on you. Whatever. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? Or when's the last time you expressed any kind of pleasure in somebody? And I'm not talking just about a husband-wife relationship or anything like that. I'm just talking about, man, I really had a good time being with you. I'm always edified when I'm around you. You always are, and this encouragement thing comes in, you're always a good encouragement to you. At all the times Brother Isaac has given me encouragement, you know, I've never gone back once and said I appreciate that encouragement. I've never done it. Never done it. You know why? Because it's awkward for me. It's awkward for us, and you know why? Because it's all kind of humiliating to admit that we need that every now and then. It is. And so really, when we get to the root of why some of these things might be tough for us, it's just kind of it's pride. Third thing he does, and this is in no particular order, he affirms the Son. There's an affirmation there of what he's doing. That kind of goes hand in hand with pleasure, but it's not the same thing. What he's doing right now, I am well pleased in that. He's saying, you're doing the right thing. You're doing exactly what you ought to be doing. Again, one of those things that's tough for us to do. Can I give you one that might be the toughest one out of them all? And again, whenever I started out with this, I said that the way this relates to us will not be the same way that it relates to the Godhead, but there's still a connection. This is my beloved Son. There's some acceptance in that. I accept this Son. I accept my Son. This is my Son. How difficult is it for you to do that in relationships? Again, we get to that me club, and it's really hard to accept folks that don't do things the way we do them. It's really hard to accept folks that don't like things that we like, or either like things that we don't like. And so it's the acceptance part. To be able to accept people for just who they are doesn't mean that you accept sin, doesn't mean that you celebrate sin. But it does mean everybody doesn't have to be the same. Everybody doesn't have to be you. Everybody doesn't have to do things exactly the way that you think they ought to do. We ought to be able to accept people. We already talked about encouragement. We already talked about expression of enjoyment. The last thing that we get out of this phrase, it's not really even in this phrase, but another area of communication that's hard to express, and it's right up there with the whole breakdown in communication, and that's appreciation. Showing people, telling people. I'm not showing people, telling people, verbally telling people that you appreciate them. That's difficult sometimes. And I know it's a hard thing because you talk to enough people that have conflicts in their marriages or just in their relationships, and appreciation is big. It's not hard for me to get up and do a lot of stuff or keep a busy schedule and work and all that. If I know whenever I get home that I'm appreciated, it's acknowledged, it's noticed. But I'm going to tell you, if I get up and I have a long day and then I get home, and not that I even need a verbal, even though it is nice, and Abby's had a rough day, and all she can talk about is her rough day, I'm going to tell you, I can get ill quick. Not even that I start fussing or anything like that. I just think, are you kidding? All the stuff I've been doing, you don't even appreciate it. All you can do is sit around and talk about your problems. And I'm going to tell you what happens is I get so blinded to the fact that I don't appreciate a thing in the world she's been doing all day either. And so we both sit around wishing somebody would appreciate what we're doing while we're sold up appreciating ourselves so much we can't see anybody else. Showing appreciation for somebody. Letting them know that you appreciate what they do. It doesn't matter, and I don't want to say it doesn't matter what it is. If it's, you don't want to make it up, but if it's something that benefits you, if it's something that helps out, if it's something that you're receiving, just plain, simple appreciation. Thank you. I notice what you do. I'm going to tell you, with a husband and wife, this can get lost in a heartbeat. Running, burning the candle on both ends, both of them, both of you. You're just running all over the place. And if you're not careful, it never gets said. I have to stop myself sometimes and just a little note usually. I mean, it does a lot. Just to say, you know what, and not to say that I do it all the time. I'm really bad with it most of the time. But just to say, I really appreciate the time that you put into washing Lily every day. Fixing the meal, doing the things that you don't want to do. And we could go around the room and we could do that with every single person in here not related physically to us, but in relation to us. I really appreciate the song leaders that are willing to get up here and lead singing. Because I'll be honest, I don't like doing that. I will do it, but I don't like doing that. I appreciate the folks that clean the church. Because it's not a distraction. You don't have to sit and wonder who in the world left the church looking like a pig pen over the week. You don't have to do that. It's not a distraction. You don't see paper everywhere. That's a blessing. I really appreciate the folks that are involved in the newsletter and the folks that are involved in the meals for Sunday and the sacrifices that you mostly, maybe some of the men help out some, I kind of doubt it, but with the meals that are on Sunday afternoon. That's a sacrifice. I'm well aware that whenever that happens, that most of you women don't jump up clicking your heels thinking, oh, great, I get to serve these folks and give them a fine meal. That's usually not the way it works. I'm going to imagine it works. Oh, here comes Sunday. What are we going to make? What's in the pantry that's easy? Or whatever. It's usually not something that you wake up. But what it really is, it affects us in a positive way. And we ought to be able to say that we appreciate that. And the list could go on and on and on and on. But you know what? It'll never get started unless we open our mouth and let somebody know that we appreciate something that they've done to help us out. Now listen, this is simple stuff to talk about. It's easy for me to sit up here and talk about it. But to put it into practice, number one, I think one of the reasons that hinders us so much in it is that we think we're so unskilled in it. There are some people out there that just have the gift of being able to express themselves and not get some awkward silent pause where you're just staring at each other wondering what you're supposed to say next. There may be some people out there like that, but I hadn't met them yet. It's always kind of awkward starting out trying to do something like that. But it shouldn't hinder us. It especially should not hinder us in our own families, but even in our church families and the people that we're around, to just give thanks. Because I'm going to tell you that in giving thanks to people around you, it will open you up to give thanks to God for those people around you. And so the praise just kind of compounds. And so communication within the Godhead, obviously this is not a comprehensive look at that, but it is a few encouragements, a few aspects of how communication works there, and reasons why we ought to try to adopt those things into our own life in the way that we talk and communicate with each other. Let's pray.